So what do you say we do a third hour? Let's get this. If not for Tiki and Tierney, I'd say, what do you say we do a fourth hour? Those dudes are good, man. No, it's not. I'm not making a joke, Albie. Those dudes are good, man. Those are my dudes. All right, so we start hour number three. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So we start hour number three. Let me just give you a telephone number right now because I've got Carlos Payne coming up momentarily. But in the meantime, we are toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. Let me run down a resume for you right quick. 14-year MLB vet, all-star, gold glove winner, silver slugger, AL home run champ, AL comeback player of the year, award winner in 2007. MLB Network's live coverage from Houston's Minute Maid Park get underway at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you can watch Carlos coming up on MLB tonight at 6 p.m. So he's got a really big day. The network has big day, and there is a big game. Carlos Pena is my guest. Carlos, it has been almost exactly a year since you and I spoke, which is too long. How are you doing, my friend? How is your life right now?
Doing well. I'm really excited watching the postseason and the World Series. I'm so happy to see Atlanta finally crack into the World Series and getting started to on the right foot. So I'm really excited to see how things pan out. And I'm doing well, Jim. It's good to join you.
Carlos Pena, my guest. It's great to have you back, Carlos. You know, the point about Atlanta getting back in and starting out quickly, why don't we talk about that for a minute? Because when the series started, you were talking about the importance of Astros starter Framber Valdez to induce weak contact. Knowing that, what went through your head when you saw Jorge Soler lead off last night with a home run?
You know, that was precisely my concern. You know, a lot of people talk about, oh, he puts the ball on the ground. He's really good at inducing ground balls. I'm like, don't talk to me about ground balls. Talk to me about weak contact. A lot of those ground balls over there in Boston were hit pretty hard. So that tells me that the players, the hitters, were actually timing him up really well. It's just that he had really good movement, so a lot of those baseballs were hit into the ground. But what's concerning to me is that their timing was too close to ideal. So that was my concern, and sure enough, you know, he goes up there, and maybe the sinker was not sinking as much as he would have liked. So that's why I don't like that narrative. When I hear a pitcher say, well, I rely on my movement, that is very volatile. I mean, you can come in one day and feel really good. You have great movement, great sink on your two-seamer, and then the very next day you totally lose it for whatever reason. So I do not like when pitchers rely too much on movement. I rather talk about sequencing, and that's how you induce weak contact, with the right sequencing. And Valdez, unfortunately, did not have it yesterday.
I think that's a really important distinction. Carlos Pena joining us. So when you're in a huge game like that, what's it mean to the rest of the Atlanta dugout to have your leadoff guy start things off like that? How much of a lift can that give the entire team?
That is huge. I mean, when you punch first, you punch twice. And that's something that we talk about in the dugout. And now, even if you look at the World Series numbers, whoever goes out there and wins that first game, especially after 1995, the wild card era, we're talking about an 80 percentage winning percentage of winning the World Series if you win game one, because momentum does matter. Seven games is nothing, Jim. I mean, it really is not. It's a very short series. And if you're able to go out and punch first and land a jab immediately out of the gate, it's huge how momentum, you can ride that momentum the whole entire way through.
Carlos Pena joining us. Those numbers are pretty amazing. Now, the inning kept going when Ozzie Albies beat out that infield single, stole second, and then came around to score. Then he chased out with that great play in the field with the bases loaded in the bottom of the first. How significant was he last night?
He is such a difference maker. I mean, he goes out there and plays a game that, yeah, of course, he had 30 home runs. You could talk about him being a second baseman, 30 home run power, which is remarkable, 100 RBIs. So that by itself, it's something that makes you scratch your head. I'm like, wow, this guy can do it all. But where I know he's at his best is when he's doing what he was doing last night. The rest comes kind of in addition to that game where he does every little thing, all the little things, where he's running out a ground ball I mean, yesterday was a ground ball right at Altuve. And Altuve was playing the shift, so he's behind second base. And Altuve hesitated for a second, and Albies was safe at first. You cannot sleep on his speed. Another thing that I like is the fact that he knows how to shorten his swing. I mean, sometimes it looks like he's just playing pepper up there and just kind of getting the ball above the infielders for singles. And yes, that defensive play you mentioned, if that ball gets through, we may be talking about a different narrative. The game would have been tied right there.
No doubt. Carlos Pena joining us. Carlos, like, I don't want to be guilty of recency bias or to be a prisoner of the moment, but Eddie Rosario had two more hits last night. He's got a hit in every single game in the postseason. He's got 10 hits in the last four games. What do you make of the hot streak he's on? How do you get this guy out? I don't remember ever seeing a guy this hot on this big of a stage.
We're talking about Alvarez or Rosario?
Rosario.
Because we can say the same thing about Alvarez. But let's start with Rosario. It's incredible how baseball works, you know, when you are, when your timing is on. And I wish I could tell you that we could be, I wish I was more intentional about working on my timing rather than spending so much time on my mechanics. You know, if I had to go back, timing would be number one. That's what I think is going on right now with Rosario. His timing right now is pristine. It's really locked in. He is giving himself enough space to be able to get his healthy swing at the baseball. When you do that, there's no rush, no panic. How do you get him out? We're going to go back to sequencing. You better rush him inside and elevate the fastball and pair that up with a good off-speed pitch that hides behind the fastball you just threw. So sequencing is the key to getting him out. And then if we flip the script and go to talk about Alvarez, I don't even know why they pitch Alvarez out over the plate. Why would you throw Alvarez a fastball middle away? Even if you look at his exit velocities out there, Jim, he crushes those pitches. You have to rush him up and in and work from there. That should be your go pitch on both of these hitters that are extremely hot. Fastball, elevated fastball in the innermost and uppermost part of the strike zone, and then you work your off-speed from that. We'll see how that pans out. I hope someone's listening, because yesterday they, again, pitched Alvarez away, and he hit it all the way to center field off the wall. And I'm like, does anyone learn? Do not pitch Alvarez away. And to stop pitching Rosario also out over the plate. You have to rush him up and in. So we'll see if they're able to accomplish that tonight.
I was going to say, I hope somebody is listening. I was going to ask you about Alvarez, but you got to him first, Carlos. Well done. I want to ask you about Charlie Morton. Not that we didn't know this already, but when you see him take that shot off his leg, he stays in the game. We find out an inning later that he had broken his leg. What was your reaction to that? What are your thoughts about the way he hung in there and just kept battling and grinding?
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, he is such a he has this stoic demeanor, and nothing faces him. But when you're talking about physical pain, that's when you're like, okay, that is insane right there. Because he was pitching with a broken leg, you know, in simple words. And, you know, until you saw him land there and run, probably we wouldn't have noticed. You know, when he landed and then he kind of stumbled a little bit, we're like, okay, he's hurt. And, you know, it got to the point where he's like, I'm just going to hurt my team. I can't help him right now. And I thought it was incredibly a very special moment when you saw him almost apologize to his team. He was saying that he was sorry because he wants to be part of this fight. And for him to be out of the series, it's a devastating loss for the Atlanta Braves. And then I thought it was very moving when you heard Snicker talk about his pitcher, Charlie Morton, and not only speak about what he brought to the table as a pitcher, but he went off about how great of a man he was. I thought that was a very moving moment and very well deserved. You know, all those words are very well deserved, because Charlie Morton is exactly that. He's probably better off the field than he's on the field. And that speaks volumes about his character.
It's clear, right? He is absolutely beloved in that clubhouse and even outside of it. So, Carlos, before you go, if you're in the Astros clubhouse, what would you be telling your teammates before game two?
Yeah, I'm glad you actually said, what are you going to be telling your teammates? Because a lot of you will hear this. You're like, oh, we don't need a meeting. I'm like, yes, you do. You have to address the fact that you got worked. on that game one. You got dominated. The Braves came out swinging. They were very aggressive offensively, and then they put you in a hole very early in the game. That needs to be addressed. I'm all for addressing the elephant in the room, the issue at hand. So, yes, if I'm in the Astros clubhouse, I'm saying, all right, guys, that's not the way we intended it. That's not the way we intended. We need to get out of these home games, these first two, at least with one win. There's no way we can go back to Atlanta with an 0-2 start. That would be very, very, very bad and definitely not ideal. So we need to at least split this series at home so we go to Atlanta with the series tied. And we need to do it now. And have a strategy, Jim. You cannot default anybody. So if you're going off against Fried, you have to have a strategy as an offensive ball club to go up against Fried and have a very specifically tailored to him. You don't have time to default and the luxury of 500 plate appearances to kind of have the numbers even out. You have to hunt pitches if you're hitting. And that goes for both teams. For the Astros specifically, Fried was one of the best pitchers in the league after the All-Star game. If you go up there with the idea, I'm just going to see the ball and hit it, I just need to relax and keep my hands loose, you're going to be in trouble. You better be hunting a certain pitch when you're up in the box, and I'll be looking for that type of approach tonight from the Astros hitters, who are typically an outstanding offensive ball club. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I love that. Really quickly, over the course of the year, Carlos, I've had so many conversations with MLB players, former players, people who cover the game, and I've asked them to try to explain kind of what Shohei Ohtani did this year. I've got to ask you, having played the game as long as you did at such a high level, how do you explain what you saw from him as both a hitter and a pitcher? Before I leave that topic altogether, I really want your thoughts, if you don't mind.
It's an anomaly. I mean, this is something that I could not comprehend. Unfortunately, I thought the entire country got kind of used to seeing. And even though everyone was impressed at the beginning, towards the end, you're like, okay, wow, that's amazing that he's doing this. Like, no, you do not understand. You need to understand that these pitchers, you know, I work with Pedro Martinez, Hall of Famer. I work with John Smoltz. I faced them both, and they were extremely difficult to hit. And what went into their preparation to be able to pitch at that elite level was absolutely ridiculous. It was a regimen of stamina, training, preparation, conditioning, studying. That's why they're Hall of Famers, and that's why they perform at a high level. Okay, they're only pitching. They don't have to hit. And then, I'm going to tell you from my experience, for me to even be able to stay in the big leagues, for as long as I played, I had to go through so many up and down, so many adjustments, so much preparation, so much studying and repetition and working on my craft to be able to even compete at this level. So when I put those two together, it's incomprehensible to me how someone can go out there and do both at the highest level in the world, in the planet of baseball, and do it in an elite manner. That's what I don't want anyone to take for granted. What we saw was unprecedented. What we saw was history in the making. And it might have been the best baseball performance. I'm going to say it out there. It might be a hot take. The best baseball performance ever in the history of the major leagues was what Shohei Ohtani was able to accomplish.
Carlos, I don't know how you dispute that point. I mean, you're so right. It'd be one thing to just do both jobs at a very average level at the major league level. That would make you a legend if you were just kind of middle of the road at both. But he literally is elite at both. Oh, and he can run the bases a little bit, too. I agree with you. I think that is the most astonishing performance I've ever seen from a major leaguer. The guy had 26 bags at a time when almost nobody runs anymore. So there's almost nothing he can't do. MLB Network's live coverage from Houston's Minute Maid Park gets underway at 3 p.m. Eastern, so 45 minutes out. And you can watch Carlos coming up on MLB tonight at 6 p.m. Carlos, you are a good man. Great to have you back, dude. I appreciate it so much.
No, thanks for having me, Jim. I can't wait until the next time. I look forward to it.
That was great. That was a really good conversation. Carlos, appreciate you. Carlos Pena, sharp, sharp analysis. Great insight. Good takes. I love talking to him. I can't believe it's been a year. That Ohtani, I mean, his point is so great the way he laid that out, that I went up against the best to do it, and I'm telling you, I know what goes into it. I know the regimen. I know how locked, how dialed, how hard those guys have to work to be pitchers. He goes, and then I'm a hitter that played 14 years. I know what I had to do to play 14 years, and this guy's doing both. It's like the guy has two totally separate careers, but they're combined, and has a regimen for both, and does it at the highest level, and had 26 stolen bases. Yeah, how do you argue? What's a better single performance in the history of baseball than what Ohtani did this year? I can't dispute that. I can't refute that. I can't argue against that. All right, so when we come back, we're open the rest of the way. I do want to recap my Vegas run really quickly and how LeBron got owned by a content creator and more. And I've got plenty of time for your phone calls. And I need some ATPs, if you don't mind. So, one quick question. We did have the beef segment earlier, right? So, what is it about Old Trapper beef jerky that makes it so good? There's so many things, so many ways to go with this. Number one, it is a family business. A family business which has been in this business for decades and stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. I think there's like this notion that beef jerky is beef jerky and it's all one and the same. It's not. You want to make sure you choose the right one, Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. They do that because they want you to see exactly what you're getting. And they use just the best ingredients, from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. And they deliver quality in every single bite, and it comes in four amazing flavors. I like them all equally. They're all amazing. So what you want to do is get yourself a 4-ounce bag, and that way you can sample all of them, or load it up with the 18-ounce bag where there's enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. I think that I know why Carlos Pena, who was awesome, I think that I know why he sort of qualified what he said about Ohtani before he said it. And he said, I don't want to sound like it's a hot take. However, let me tell you about this. I want to flip that on its head. It's not a hot take, but I'll tell you what is a hot take. The hot take is not what this guy did is the most significant thing I've ever seen a guy do, or the best thing I've ever seen a guy do. That's not the hot take. The hot take slash stupid take, stupid, is, oh, it's not that great. His team didn't make the playoffs. That's idiotic. It's a moronic take. Oh, so a guy who did make the playoffs, who hit 330, had a better year? This guy is an elite player as a pitcher and a batter, and is doing both at the highest level, some of the highest levels ever seen, compared to Babe Ruth, except only better. So that's not the hot take. The hot take is not Ohtani did something that's never been done before. That's the true take. He did do something that has never been done before. The hot take, the dumb take, the moronic take, the look at me take, the ignorant take, the I haven't really thought about this very long, I want to say something to get people to react to me take is, yeah, well, they didn't make the playoffs, so how important could it be? It's just dumb. I mean, giving it hot take status is giving it too much credit. That's just a dumb take. I mean, it's really idiotic, actually. In terms of some of the reaction, Carlos getting a lot of positive run, as you'd expect. Trevor writes, holy crap, pimp. Carlos Pena, man's game, bitches.
Man's game.
I haven't heard a dude break down baseball so well. He keeps it stupid, simple for the rest of us. Great interview. This one says, Ohtani's accomplishment was great, but my 64 beers on a cross-country flight is still the greatest in baseball history. Signed, Wade Boggs. Bobby and Lone Tree. I thought it was 72. Wooden Laconic, did you say video poker, Rome? We know that's your game. Signed, strip club patrons seeing Rome's initials with the high score at every club.
Strip club.
For the last time. It's not every club. It was one club, and it was in Detroit, and it was one guy back in the day who said that he would go to the strip club and play Ms. Pac-Man and get the high score and put my initials in so people would think that I went to the strip club and I played Ms. Pac-Man.
Strip club.
And my response to him back in the day was A, I deny that. It's not me. B, if in fact I were at a strip club, I would not be playing Ms. Pac-Man. And C, if in fact I was at a strip club playing Ms. Pac-Man and got the high score, I would not put my name in there.
Strip club.
So that's a lie. That's always been a lie. So if you were checking out my Instagram feed and stories yesterday and this morning, you should be, at Jim Rome. You saw that I did make a quick run to Vegas and back yesterday. Reason for that, I went to go see our friends at WynnBET. You've heard me talking WynnBET up on the program. Absolutely love these guys, love their product, love their approach, love their brand. And we had some business that we had to discuss. So I shot over there for a really quick meeting, and I wanted to see their setup, and I could not have been more impressed. Could not have been more impressed with the people. Could not have been more impressed with the facility. I mean, like, you know the Wynn brand. You know Wynn Resorts. You know what I'm talking about. Their broadcast studio, though, I had not seen. It's in their hotel, man. It is sparkling, yo. I've said I've done this a long, long time. I've been in every kind of studio. This thing is dialed. It is pristine. It is a beautiful setup. And I told them straight up, anytime you need somebody to come in and hold it down for a program or a podcast, you let me know because I'm all about Vegas and this space is beautiful. Also, that was the first time I'd been to Vegas in probably, man, I don't know, 4 years, 3 years. So it's great to be back. And the Wynn, I know this sounds like a promotional announcement, but I'm just telling you what it was like to be in Vegas and that resort. The Wynn Resort was banging on a Tuesday. Like, we were going to talk in one of the lounge areas, but we couldn't even do it because it was packed. So there was definitely a ton of buzz and a ton of energy at the Wynn and in town. Yes, I was only there for a couple of hours, but that's all I needed to know, or I only had to be there for a couple hours to feel that kind of buzz, that energy in Vegas. And one thing I want to digress to really quickly. Somebody made the point about tipping, because that was an issue. That was a topic we had on the show a number of weeks back. That one of the websites there was complaining that Raider players were getting a reputation for not tipping. Vital Vegas. My guy said Vital Vegas. I had a driver yesterday by the name of James. My man was a good dude, James. Big James. What up, James? I said, dude, is it true? Are they not tipping? He's like, no names mentioned, but I had one of the guys in. Yeah, he didn't. He didn't. But James was not, like, he would have not brought it up. James was all class. But he did not deny it. In fact, he confirmed at least one of the guys that I'm not going to sell out. So I want to say that I went to Vegas and the energy was good. In fact, the last couple of days, I've been to New York and back. I've been to Vegas and back. And while I'm not saying that we are all the way back, far from it, I will say that every plane that I jumped on for those two trips was packed. LAX, packed. Here's something else that I did not know about. It's a thing, and it's happening. I don't want to say more and more because I've only taken those two trips, but I saw it on both trips. Dogs on planes. Now, I don't mean little dogs in little backpacks. I don't mean little dogs in little carrier bags that you don't even know are dogs. I'm talking about dogs. I'm talking about dogs on owners' laps. I'm talking about a dog on the floor at your feet instead of your briefcase. I'm talking about dogs on planes. And I'm not talking about service dogs. I saw that too. I'm talking about dogs. Pets. Not sure when that became a thing. I'm not even judging or complaining. I'm just saying I didn't know. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could just walk your dog onto a plane and sit the dog on your lap. How does that work? Do you buy a ticket? Do you buy a partial ticket? All I know is it's a thing now. At least it has been for the past week. And again, I'm not judging. I'm not cracking back. I love dogs. I'm just saying. And again, I want to make the point. Don't come at me with, hey, Rome, service dogs. Yeah, I know. I saw that too. I get that. I'm talking about dogs as pets. Like, I guess it's like anything else, right? You just keep upping the ante. You keep raising the bar. Bringing Rover to lunch or bringing Rover to the mall or letting Rover sit on your lap when you drive your Range Rover. It was good until it wasn't. Now you got to go coast to coast with it. Hell, you know what? Maybe when I roll back to New York next week, I'm going to roll with Cody the Ragdoll Cat in tow. Actually, Cody the Ragdoll Cat freaks out anytime you put him in a car. I'm not doing that. No, I got a better idea. I think I'm going to try and board an airplane next week.
A car.
With one of our horses. A horse! We're not back to normal. But if the number of dogs I've seen traveling on planes is any indication, we are definitely working our way back. And again, I'm not talking about a dog purse. I'm talking about big-ass dogs. Just hanging out. You know what I need? I don't need a dog purse. I need a fancy horse bag. Maybe sling it over my shoulder. Find some quack somewhere to give me a comfort service license for Gadgetta. Be like, sir. One, you are first on the downgrade list. Two, there are no horses allowed on this plane. Yeah, well, this horse is my service animal. Look at my fake license. This horse calms me down. I get nervous on flights. Oh, go right ahead, sir. I did not know. Hey, kid. That's not your pony. That's my service horse. She's working. You can't pet her. Don't at me if you have a service animal. Again, I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about big-ass pets being on big-ass and small-ass planes. And I'm talking about my service horse, Gadgetta. You're like, I'm not even kidding. I would be a lot less scared of flying if they let the big girl on the plane with me. I just don't think that she likes flying very much. I saw a dude yesterday, man. He had this, I don't even know what kind of dog it was. It was a big dog. And my dog here, either he was kind of old or he was not feeling well, but he wasn't moving well. So my man had to lift the dog up and carry him up the stairs. And my guy was not a small guy, but he was kind of having trouble getting this dog up. That's the size of dog I'm talking about that was on this particular plane. A dog that he had to carry up the stairs and was kind of struggling to do it. I saw a lot of dogs on planes this past week.
Struggling.
Carlin Prescott writes, of course you went to Detroit for the video poker game. Signed, Tan Smack on his hog. Hey, Carl. Did you not see me? Did you not see the hog that I was on? Did you not see my friends? Why would I need to go to a strip joint or a club? Why would I have to go to a party? I was the party. I was hosting the party on that motorcycle. It was a party of three, yo. Don't hate. Yeah, maybe I couldn't pull that off anymore. Obviously, I have a family. But I had that kind of game back in the day. You've seen the picture. Pick don't lie. Hog don't lie. Tan smack don't lie. That hog don't lie. That hog don't lie. How about LeBron getting owned? I haven't seen that guy owned like that since ever. We'll have that for you when we come back. Also, the ATP. Ask the pros. I would love for somebody to ask me a good question. Or five. Hit me up right now. That segment is coming up next. And I've got time for your phone calls, too. But you know what we do every bottom of every hour? We update you on sports. So let's do that right now. So, time for the ATP. The Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Mr. Rome, what is the most money you have ever won gambling in Las Vegas? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. I don't have any good Vegas stories like that. I have good Vegas stories, but not gambling stories. I'm one of those guys that if I can just sit the table and not have my head handed to me, that's a win. If I break even, that's a win. If I'm hanging out with some friends or family or Dodger Jano and we break even for a few hours, that's great. I mean, I've never pulled out more than a grand, maybe 1500 on a really good night. My bigger scores have been in horse racing, and my bigger ass kickings have been in horse racing. But that's not a Vegas thing per se. Mr. Rome, what is your favorite game to play in Vegas? Respectfully, still, Edward Marino. Blackjack. Blackjack for sure. Jimmers, who is Jano's favorite clone? Jeff and Raleigh. She's a little detached. It's not that she's not about the show. She just doesn't have time for the show. She's like Logan's full-time agent, tutor, coach. Like it's full-time. She no longer has time to listen like she used to. So I bet that she couldn't even tell you a clone, except from way back in the day. So that's a non-response. Hi, Jim. How do you think Cody the Ragdoll would describe you? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. Desperate. Bella, you know what? I don't know what it is with this cat. He's actually mellowing out. He's getting more affectionate. He's being cooler. You know, I chased that cat so hard. I've said it before. For the cats are now... Well, poor Sapphire, man. He had like a heart murmur. So we were kind of tripping on that. But that came back. Sapphire. This little kitty cardiologist. Like the cat's got a cardiologist, if you can believe that. We got some pretty good news on him, but we got to monitor him. But they're 14 now, I think. They're 12 or they're 14. And for the first 10 or 12 years, I was all about Cody the Ragdoll Cat. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Come at me as hard as you want. I mean, bust me up. I love that cat. That cat is so badass. He's like a rock star, this cat. He's so cool. And I'm not even afraid to admit that. I'll put myself out there. I love this cat. And the cat couldn't give a damn about me. For at least 10 years, maybe 12. So I'm like, all right, he knows. You know how like guys or gals, people that are different know they're different? Animals are like that too. I believe this. I've seen it in horses, and I've seen it in this cat. Like, you know how you don't like people that think they're better than you? The cat thinks he's better than you. He doesn't think he's better than other cats. He thinks he's better than me, and he's right, and he knows it. So I tried to ignore him for like a month. Didn't matter. Rolled up on him hard again. Didn't matter. No matter what I did, the cat's looking at me like, dude, just feed my ass and roll off me. I'm going to go hang out with Logs. But Bella, for some reason, like when he turned 12 or whatever, he's mellowing out, man. He's getting much nicer. He's showing me less attitude. I like it. So how would he describe me? Less desperate. Happy. Happy I get the time of day from the cat now. Cody the Ragdoll Cat. Dude's cool. For some reason, and one more thing, cat people, help me out with this. How is it that I live with the cat, I feed the cat, I pay for the cat, and I can't get the time of day from the cat, but anytime a vendor comes over, he's all about that person. Like wants to follow the guy around, wants to help the guy. fix the closet, door, whatever it is. Hey, yo, dude, I bought your ass. I feed your ass. I take care of you, codes. Anyway, I digress. Come on, Bella. Because of all that, I don't have time to do my LeBron take. It'll hold. Trust that. It'll hold. The way he got owned, it'll hold. Hey, Jim. I've had enough of these MFing dogs on this MFing plane. Signed, Samuel L. Jackson.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
Right? I don't know. Like I said, I'm used to the little dogs in the little carriers. I haven't seen dogs just sitting on laps or on the floor. Like freestyle. Salty Sarah's back. She's having a week. She's on one. I wonder if she's going to tear me up for loving a cat. Let's see. If you don't own a dog or a cat, you're a loveless human. Ah. Even saltier Sarah is less saltier Sarah unless you don't have a dog or a cat. JWags15 tweets, War Jim walking his horse up and down the aisle of the plane prior to takeoff like it's the paddock at Del Mar. That'd be cool. Like I said, I'm just going to put Gidgetta in a horse bag and sling her over my shoulder. You know how much those thoroughbreds weigh? Well over 1,000 pounds. I said well over 1,000 pounds. When those horses are born, those babies weigh like 120 pounds. Imagine that, like throwing a 120 pound baby. In other words, I don't think I'm going to get her under the seat in front of me or in the overhead bin above me. Bergie 37. I work on the road. I'm constantly eating on the run. What is your go-to for a quick meal? Let's put health aside on this one, ATP. Dude, that is such a great question. Such a great question. So what I did yesterday, my normal routine, the perfect bar for breakfast, almonds mid-morning, protein box for lunch. Ran out the door yesterday. Did not get the protein box down. Didn't eat anything for lunch up until the meeting. Had nothing until I got back to the gate to fly back to Orange County, to which point I had another bar, a different kind of bar. So in other words, Chris, I don't have the answer to that, dude. I don't have a good plan. And I can't lie to you. I'm still working off the bloat from the New York run. There's this thing going on in New York. I was telling James Kelly about this yesterday. So really quickly, I stay at the same hotel every single time in New York. At the start of the NFL season, I would have this debate internally when I arrived. Do I do the right thing or do I do what I want to do? And you want to win that fight. You want to win that war, man. That war with yourself. The right thing is the salmon. The thing I want to do is this unbelievable bacon cheeseburger. I lost the war, but I won the battle, or something like that. I went hamburger. I'm like, God, that was good. I feel badly about it, but man, that was good. Then I did it a second week. When I did my third appearance, there's no longer a battle. There's no longer a debate. Literally, this hamburger is now the best hamburger I've ever had in my life. This hamburger is worth going all the way to New York for. I'm not even kidding. It's the greatest thing ever. Last night, Big Head hits me. He texts me and he goes, dude, as dry as he is, he goes, hey, dude, the flip side of that burger in New York is the one that I'm having in the Vegas airport right now is ass. I'm like, I'm sorry to hear that, Head. Thanks for coming to the meeting. So my point is, Chris, I don't know, dude. I don't have that really healthy play. That's a hard thing to do, to eat when you're traveling. But I'm telling you, I found an unhealthy play, and it is the best thing ever. It is the best hamburger I've had in my 50-plus years of life, and it's at the hotel that I stay at in New York, and it's room service, and it's getting better every single week. I don't even know what it is. I know this, though. It's not like I can have it without cheese. It's not like I can have it without bacon. And most of all, it's not like I can have it without the brioche bun that they give you. It's got to be brioche. The brioche is damn near dessert. I don't know what it is. It's just the best hamburger I've ever had in my life. That's no hot take. So, hey, dude, I travel a lot. What's your go-to? What's the healthy play? I don't know. What's the best play? That hamburger. Like, I literally can't wait for two things. Drew Kalisky's email telling me what my topics are and that hamburger. We'll talk about LeBron getting owned tomorrow. That'll hold. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and their excellent customer service. From the professional parts people that you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Now I am done. My thanks to Solomon Thomas, Raiders D lineman. Kenny Pickett is the quarterback of Pittsburgh and a Heisman candidate. Carlos Pena, all-around stud. My thanks to the XR4TI. Good job, clones. Y'all did your part. See you tomorrow. We're out.